It is good to be here with you, to share the word of the Lord with you. Question. I like asking questions because Jesus asks questions, and sometimes it engages you. Instead of just giving you information, it makes you think a little more. Who here has listened to the news in the last 4 or 5 days? At least something, right? You've heard something. I know my family has. We don't watch a lot of news in my home, but we've seen some of the presidential elections and things like that. So I know that there can be question marks, right? That's kind of what's going on in our world right now, is just the presidential elections, and there can be question marks and anxiety and fears, and the enemy loves to stir up all kinds of strife and division. And I love that the Lord has a plan. The Lord knows what he's doing. And so even this morning's message, I feel like I had some things prepared in advance for this Sunday. And then God knows how he's going to orchestrate and bring this all together, that it's going to speak a better word. As I said that already, his closing worship, that his scripture, his truth speaks a better word than things that we see or hear in the news. And so I'm just excited to give you a good word. We talked a little bit about that on Wednesday night. In Proverbs 12:25, it says, anxiety in the heart of a man weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. And so I am pleased to tell you that I got a good word. God's word is the good word, and I got a good word for you, and it should release and resolve any anxiety, because scripture says that we should be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen? So God's word is always a better word. If you are anxious, if you are worried, you don't need to be, because God's got a better word. He's got a better plan for us this morning. So I'm excited to share with you where we're headed this morning. Another question, you should know this one. What series are we in the middle of? What have we been talking about?
Heaven.
All right, heaven. We've been talking about heaven. That's good. So you guys are paying attention. We've been talking about finding heaven. That's my, kind of my title this morning. But we're going into heaven. How does it affect our now? How does three heavens? We talked about last Sunday, right? Kind of went through how there's a third heaven, second heaven, first heaven. Kind of explained that. That might seem foreign or weird, but you can go back last Sunday, listen to some of that. That we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's an important truth that I feel like we need to still understand, not just intellectually, but conceptually and in throughout the day, recognizing that we are not just subject to a second heaven, that we are living in this first heaven and we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And light pierces the darkness, right? It doesn't pierce from the first heaven to the second heaven. It comes from the third heaven down. That God spoke and said, let there be light, and light pierced the darkness. And so we can be with Christ in heavenly places and have that mindset, have the mindset of Christ, as 1 Corinthians says. So love those truths. So this morning we are talking about finding heaven. Finding heaven. I'm going to call it finding heaven an Isaiah journey. We're going to be looking through the book of Isaiah. And finding heaven in the book of Isaiah, meaning finding that word heaven in the book of Isaiah, but also kind of a double meaning, finding the heaven that lived inside of the man, Isaiah. Does that make sense? So we are looking for heaven. We are finding heaven here on earth. Jesus taught us to pray that heaven would come down to earth. And so are we recognizing when there are things that the third heaven is affecting our first heaven and the second heaven? Do we have eyes to see? Are we discerning? I shared several times on a Wednesday night, I think on a Sunday morning, but at least I know on Wednesday nights, that I believe in this season that we're in right now, that the discerning of spirits is one of those gifts that we need more than ever. To be able to discern, okay, is this something God is doing? Is this something the enemy is doing? And how do we partner with God and come against the enemy, right? That we submit to the plans of God, we resist the plans of the enemy, that even our fleshly plans, there's things we have to repent of, right? So all these three things, I feel like there's a lot that God is trying to teach us in this season. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at Isaiah. We're going to be looking at finding heaven. That's the title of this morning's message, Finding Heaven, an Isaiah Journey. And so we are going to kind of go through Isaiah. I'll give you a quick recap or background of Isaiah. Isaiah was alive in one of the most important times in Jewish history, in the nation of Judah. Just giving you real quick background, you had King David, where the nation was just flourishing, and then Solomon, it expanded even more. God's prosperity was all over his people. Things were going great and good. And then after Solomon died, his son, I always get him confused, Rehoboam and Jeroboam, it split into those two kingdoms. Which one was his son? I forget. Rehoboam, I think. Jeroboam? Jeroboam was his son? I always forget which one. I always get it confused. Anyways, the kingdom was split. The northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah that had Jerusalem, the temple. And so during this time, the northern kingdom of Israel, most of the time had wicked kings. You had King Ahab and Jezebel, right? One of the most profound wicked ones. You had lots of wicked kings in Israel. And in Judah, you had a mix. You had godly kings and kings that did not follow what the Lord said to do. And so this is several generations later. Now you find Isaiah. And Israel has now been taken into captivity. Assyria has come down and taken Israel because they are not following the Lord. God's hand of protection and provision is still on the southern kingdom of Judah. And so Isaiah is alive during several kings. And he's telling them, all right, we've got to keep following God. His hand of protection is on us right now. If we reject Yahweh, we're going to be led into captivity just like the northern kingdom. And so he's in this critical moment where he's prophesying. And so this whole book, this 65 chapters, you find a mix of Isaiah prophesying good things, of God restoring, of God bringing revival. You have these prophecies of saying, oh, if you don't do what God's saying, man, judgment is at hand. And so it's just this critical moment that Isaiah is giving these prophetic words. And so just giving you that context, we're going to be doing a journey this morning, not through all 65 chapters. There's no way we can cover all of that. But I'm going to highlight some different portions of scripture that talk about heaven throughout the book of Isaiah. And before I highlight those verses, I just want to highlight just a couple. When I think of Isaiah, there's some verses that come to my mind. I feel like Isaiah is packed full of one-liners that give me encouragement for the moment or throughout the day. But Isaiah is also this deep theological work where I can build my foundation and I can chew on and I can get my doctrine from. It's both. These one-liners that just encourage me and this great depth of scripture. And so I encourage you, if you haven't read the book of Isaiah, maybe read it. Maybe this is a season. I kind of felt like God was telling me in my devotional time that the book of Isaiah, can I say it this way, is my jam. Maybe that's dating me. Like I was born in the 80s. Raised in the 80s. So the book of Isaiah is our jam for right now. That should be our cassette tape that we just have on repeat in our car. So in your devotional time, I encourage you, just read the book of Isaiah. I feel like there's so many things that coincide with what we are living out in our current season of life. And so just a couple verses that this isn't the going through finding the heaven ones. These are just some things that when I think of Isaiah, these are some verses that come to my mind. One that's coming up in Christmas, you might know this. For unto us a child is born, a son is given. Right, you know this one. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So we know that Isaiah prophesies about Jesus over and over again. Tons of scriptures about Jesus in Isaiah. So that's an important one. You hear me say this a lot. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That we can be under the influence of a second heaven and we can feel discouraged or downcast, but we can put on a garment of praise. We have the ability. God has given us this garment of praise and we can choose to wear it or not. And when we wear this garment of praise, it's amazing how this spirit of heaviness, it doesn't like to be around praise. The devil, he hates praise and worship. So when we put on praise, whether we feel like it or not, we just put on this garment and we worship. And that spirit of heaviness goes. And so that's an important one for me. I like this one. The Lord delights in you. Your God rejoices over you. See, these are personal ones. Now it's not just this God in heaven who does all these powerful things. There's a God in heaven who knows me and he delights in me and he rejoices over me. Those are important devotional one-on-one times with the Lord. An important one here. Arise, shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Right? So we aren't just supposed to get through this age and just get through life. I'm just barely hanging on. No, we are to arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is on us and has come upon us. So these are important scriptures. I wish I could preach on them, but God has something else for us this morning. One last one. You've heard me preach on lots of times. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me and has anointed me. Isaiah prophesied that about himself, saying, I recognize that God has come upon me. That Jesus quoted those same words, right? That we are supposed to have that same ministry of Jesus from Isaiah 61. That we can say, not only does the Holy Spirit live inside me and I am the temple of the living God, there's something different about the Holy Spirit being in me and the Holy Spirit being upon me. right? Jesus always had the Holy Spirit inside of him when he was born, right? It says that John the Baptist had the Holy Spirit inside of him. So there's this idea that we can have God inside of us, but there's something about when he comes upon you, it's not just for your sake, it's for the people around you. When he anoints you, when he comes on you, it's for ministry, it's for other people. And so this is an important passage for me that I'm reminded, Isaiah, oh yeah, Isaiah got it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me and anointed me, not just for me to get my eyes off myself and look, I have a ministry. God has called me to bless other people. I'm to be a blessing to the nations. And so important. Isaiah, just these are quick ones that I love. So now we're finally going to get to where I'm going this morning. A journey through Isaiah, finding heaven, there's a lot more that I'm going to highlight this morning, but I'm just going to highlight a couple, maybe a handful, 5 or 6 verses throughout Isaiah that talk about heaven. And I feel like it's going to be a better word for us this morning. It's going to encourage us, build us up, but also challenge us. So we'll jump right in. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2. So the very beginning of Isaiah, you find this word heaven. It says this, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken." I love this. So heaven, hear, O heaven. I read this 2 different ways. I'll give you really quick. I feel like sometimes that's my prayer. I come before God and I say, "Hear, O heaven, hear the voice of your child. God, listen to me. Listen to my cries. There's things that are going on in my life that I don't like and I need help." And I'm saying, "God, listen to me." But I love that he says, "Hear, O heaven." And then he says, "For the Lord has spoken." Because often you find this through scripture. Moses does this. I do this. Hopefully you do this. I remind God of what he has said. "Listen to me, God. This is what you said. You promised this. You said this." And so I'm reminding you, God. I'm telling you, heaven, this is the word of the Lord. This is what you said. And so it's important that we're telling heaven what God has said. But it's also important that it says, "Listen," or, "Oh, you would give ear, O earth." So this idea that I'm letting my request be made known to God, I'm letting the word of the Lord come out of my mouth to those that are around me, to those that are on earth. "For the Lord has spoken," that we get the word of the Lord. I guess that's for me, is that we spend time letting God know our requests until we get the word of the Lord. It's not enough just to spend time in God's presence telling him all the things we want. We should come to the Lord telling him all of our desires, all our requests, until we get his word. What does he say? What are his desires? What is his kingdom? What is his will that it wants to be done here on earth as it is in heaven? And so I love that Isaiah is saying, "Listen." To me, this is the second thing. All right, now he's not just letting God know the things that he wants done. He's saying to me, I love that it's heavens. Again, as you remember our message last Sunday, there's a third heaven, a second heaven, a first heaven. So he's telling the heavens. He's telling angels and demons. He's saying, "This is the word of the Lord. Hear, O heavens, listen to me. I'm a prophet. I've heard from God. I've heard what he says. And so I'm going to tell you the word of the Lord." So it's one of these things where we have power. I love that Isaiah is this, again, prophet means that you hear from God and you speak on his behalf. So Isaiah is saying, "I have a word from the Lord that's not just for me. It's not just for humanity. It's for demons to tremble. This is the word of the Lord." When God speaks, man, he speaks, "Let there be light," that darkness flees. And so it's important that we are getting the word of the Lord, that we are getting a word from heaven, and that we're from the third heaven, and that we're speaking the word of the Lord to the second heaven and to the first heaven. Is this making sense? Isaiah's prayers and prophetic declarations were to impact the first and second heaven. Your prayers, my prayers, are to do the same thing. When you pray, are you praying? Is it shaking the first heaven? Is it changing what's going on in the second heaven? I'll back up for a second. I asked this question on Wednesday. When you pray and don't get what you are asking for, what do you do? When things in this world seem to go sideways and God doesn't seem to be doing what you think he should be doing, what do you do? See, that's why I feel like this verse is important. He's getting the word of the Lord from the third heaven. He's saying, "Okay, God, I don't understand. I don't know what's going on, but I need a word from you. Your word speaks a better word," right? Your word is better life. It's one of these things that we have to get the word of the Lord. And so that's just important. Heaven, just off the get-go, Isaiah understands that heaven is supposed to impact earth. To me, this is even a forerunner of Jesus teaching us, right? The Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Isaiah, you are finding how Isaiah views heaven, that heaven is to impact our earth. So this is important. We're finding how Isaiah thinks about heaven. We're finding these scriptures in Isaiah that have this word heaven. So we'll go to the next one. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1. A lot of you guys may be familiar with this one. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and the whole earth is full of his glory. So maybe it doesn't have the exact word heaven, but it says his throne, where he's high and lifted up. That means heaven. Isaiah is saying, I went to the third heaven. I saw the throne room of God. I saw him high lifted up, and his glory not only filled the temple up in heaven, but it actually filled the temple in Jerusalem. And then it not only filled the temple, it says the whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah is getting this vision of the third heaven that's impacting, again, the first heaven. But I love this story. I love that verse, chapter 6, verse 1. This is towards the beginning of Isaiah's prophetic ministry. He's saying in the year that King Uzziah died. If you do the history, King Uzziah, he was a king who was following Yahweh. He did what was right in the sight of God. And it says, in this moment, Isaiah is in this moment where there's political unrest. There's question marks everywhere. When the leader of the nation was no longer leading the nation, and he didn't know who the next leader was going to be, what the next leader was going to do. Is the next leader going to follow God or not? And so there's this turmoil. There's political unrest. And in this season of political unrest, Isaiah is saying, I lifted my eyes up into the heavens. I didn't just look at the political system. I just didn't look at what news was telling me. I needed a word from God. I needed a personal encounter for myself. Isaiah was saying, it's not enough just to have the history of what you've done, God. I need something right now in this moment. You are the God of yesterday, today, and forever. I need you today. I need a God encounter. Isaiah had this God encounter. In a sense, Isaiah, he's communicating, I had revival, personal revival. Keep reading the story. You're familiar with this passage. It says that he went up to the third heaven. He saw the God in all of his glory high and lifted up. He saw angels, right? He heard them saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Then he's trembling in fear, and Isaiah is saying, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm undone. In the presence of God, he's having personal revival. He's recognizing where he needs to repent, where he's been viewing things wrongly. And as he's being recalibrated, as he's looking into the third heavens, his perspective, his GPS is all being recalibrated. His understanding of heavens, is changing. He's being transformed by the renewing of his mind. And I'm saying this is a word for us this morning as we're looking at these passages about heaven all throughout Isaiah. This could not be a more profound scripture for us today. In a season of political unrest where the enemy is trying to bring division and bring question marks and fear and anxiety, God is telling you this morning, don't get your eyes so wrapped on that. Don't get your emotions. Don't get your thoughts on those things. Think about whatever's true and right and noble and pure and of good report. Let your mind dwell on these things. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Take every thought captive. Don't just go where your emotions go. Don't just go where thoughts tell you should go. No, take those thoughts captive and say, no, I need a personal encounter from you, God. I need your word. I need to know what heaven thinks about this season. I know what the second heaven is telling me to think. And I don't want to think what second heaven is telling me. I want to think what you think. You are on the throne. You are high and lifted up. And the train of your robe, it fills the temple with glory. Nothing can stop you. You are the Almighty God. I need to see you bigger than the way I see you right now. which kind of brings us to this next verse, Isaiah 14, verses 12. Another passage about heaven. It says this, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations." So again, Isaiah is talking about heaven. He's got all these understandings of what heaven is really like. And it changes his perspective on his here and now. And I feel like God is saying the same thing to us. Are we finding heaven? Are we understanding what's going on in the heavens? Do we recognize that there was this Lucifer who was an archangel, who was in heaven, and he was cast out of heaven? He was stripped of his glory. And Isaiah is recognizing, oh, as the heavens are higher than the earth, right? As you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, you used to be the son of the morning, but now you've been cut down to the ground. And I love this. In the next few verses, it talks about how when Lucifer is actually thrown into the pit. So he's talking about not just when he was cast out of heaven, but actually in the future. He's prophetically saying when Lucifer is thrown into the lake of fire, into the pit. And he says that people, even mankind, will look at this thing and say, really? That thing? That shriveled up, weak, little, pathetic thing is what caused so much havoc in the kingdoms of the earth? I love Isaiah's perspective. He sees the devil. He sees the demonic. He sees evil from heaven's perspective. Really, that shriveled up, tiny, little, powerless thing was causing all these problems. Isaiah had a big God and a small devil. I'm praying that we have that same perspective as we are finding heaven here on earth. We are getting the perspective of the third heaven. We are seeing that the second heaven is actually meant to be under our feet. It's not meant, the second heaven is not supposed to be over the first heaven. It's actually, I think sometimes we say this third heaven, second heaven, first heaven. Yeah, mankind that's not submitted to God in the third heaven, that is the order. Third heaven, second heaven, first heaven. But when we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, that second heaven is under us. And that second heaven, the devil needs to be a smaller entity, a smaller power. He does have power, but we need a bigger God and a smaller devil. When you're looking at the political upheaval, when you are full of anxiety and fear, you have too big of a devil. If we really saw, I love passages, I can keep going back. I tell my kids all the time, that the devil, oh my goodness, all God has to do, it says it throughout scripture, that the devil with the snort of his nose, I mean, God with the snort of his nose, where literally he laughed, to me, it's kind of like a laugh, like, are you kidding me? Like, are you kidding me? That sound, when God goes, just when he does that, that's the sound, that's what God did when Pharaoh was chasing after his people through the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea and his people were going across, and they got to dry land, and Pharaoh and all of the evil that was coming after them, it says that God just went, are you kidding me? And it says that the Red Sea came and crashed over, completely obliterated the enemy. It takes the blast of his nostrils. That's it. And the devil is defeated. We need to have the same perspective that Isaiah had. Is this truth and reality about heaven firmly rooted inside of us? Isaiah, keep going through the book, Isaiah 55:9. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's an important one. Again, heaven, we're finding the word heaven throughout Isaiah. This is one that hopefully you've heard if you've been growing up in the church. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your thoughts. In fact, I even skipped the verse before that. God says this, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways, they're not your ways. You've been praying and thinking this is the way things should happen in America. Let me tell you, my thoughts and my ways, they're not yours. They're higher. As far as the heavens are, my ways are even higher. It would take, I don't even know, I'm not a scientist, I forget, but I know the sun that we see in our sky, it takes light years to get there, right? We can't just like get on a spaceship going 1,000 miles an hour and get there. It doesn't happen. You got to get like something that goes beyond like the speed of light to actually get there. So it's saying, like, as far as the heavens are from us, so are his ways and his thoughts above ours. So there's this distance, there's this gap that we can't actually attain it, but it's also, I love that it's actually better. It's not just this idea that it's way higher and like it's hard to get and grasp, but it's saying it's better. Scripture, Paul talks about it, right? It says that, in 1 Corinthians, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. That he wants to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond, right? Anything we could hope, ask, dream, or imagine. So when our prayers aren't being answered, it's not because God wants to be mean. It's because he's got a better plan. He's got a higher plan. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He doesn't want to fulfill our prayer request because he's like, no, actually, if I did it your way, you'd be missing out. Let me do it my way. Do you trust me? Right? That's important in this whole idea of trusting him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, my favorite verse. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your steps. It's this trust factor that God, in this season, he wants you to learn how to trust him. He doesn't want you to learn that he just gives you everything you ask. He actually wants you, more important to him is that you trust him, that your faith is being built, that you are being matured. I love it. I view what's going on in our nation right now where there's a lot of people that have anxiety. I view this as not just a first heaven problem, a second heaven trial. This is a third heaven trial. As I said about even the coronavirus, God is behind all these things. He works together all things for good. He uses even what the enemy meant for evil, he uses for good. So even in this political unrest, we might think, oh, man, everything's going to hell in a handbasket. Man, things just have to get darker before they get better. No, actually, God is actually in all of this, refining his church, refining his people, saying, would you learn how to arise? Would you learn how to put on a garment of praise? Would you learn to think my thoughts? Because I love it. 1 Corinthians says that we can have the mind of Christ. We'll get there in a second. But Isaiah, Paul actually quotes from Isaiah. And he says, who can know the mind of God? Who can search? I mean, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, right? Who can actually know the mind of God? And then Paul in the New Testament says, I can answer that question. We can. We can have the mind of Christ. It's been given to us. We've been seated with Christ in heavenly places. We can think God thoughts. I love that. Yes, even though his ways and his thoughts are high above ours, we can actually know him. That's incredible. We can trust him even if we don't know. We don't have to understand. We are never promised to understand everything on this earth. God never promises to give us perfect understanding. In fact, again, 1 Corinthians 13 says, we know in part and we prophesy in part. Until Jesus returns, it will always be partly. We will know something. God will give us the mind of Christ in part on this side of the earth. But we are still supposed to get the mind of Christ and prophesy it. Whatever part we do know, let's go for it. Let's get a new part. Let's get another healthy part. I want the full mind of Christ. So I'm going to keep getting more and more parts of his thoughts, of his plans, of his ways. But at the same time, I'm never surprised. We should never be surprised what happens on this earth. God is never surprised. He's overarching. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts above our thoughts. So I'm going to even say this before I go on to the next heaven passage. I'm going to read it. I don't think I have it for you guys, so you guys are going to have to listen. I don't have it on the overhead. But how many of you are familiar with Isaiah chapter 40? This is a song that my wife and I sing at college all the time, so it's like this song that we know we sing all the time. But it says this, the first verse, you might know it. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? I think I actually do have a slide for that. Why do you say, O Sandy? Why do you say, O America? My way is hidden from the Lord. Why do you say, Osborne Neighborhood Church? Why do you complain, O Israel, America? My way is hidden from the Lord. Sometimes we complain, and it's okay. We should let all requests be made known to God. But this is sometimes God's reply when we come to him full of anxiety and fears and worries and thinking he's not in control. This is his answer to us. Why do you say, I'm just picking on people, Kim Cabrera, Pat Gilmore, why do you say and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men in their prime, they shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. Amen. That is you and I. That is the word of the Lord to us today. Why do you complain? Why do you say your way is hidden from God? I'm aware of all that's happening. I'm actually in control of all that's happening. And I have strength for your weary soul. Where you are anxious and worried and downcast and, he's saying, come to me, wait on me. Strength will rise as you wait upon the Lord. Everyone experiences weakness. Everyone in life has experienced it before. But he's saying, I don't care where you're at. You could be the strongest man on the face of the earth. If you don't know how to wait on the Lord, you're going to be empty. You're going to be weary. Scripture says, don't grow weary in your well-doing. It's a command. So if it's a command and you're weary, this is the antidote. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Those who say, I've got to go get the word of the Lord. I've got to spend time in the third heaven hearing from God. Once I hear the word of the Lord, it refreshes my soul. Anxiety in the heart of a man weighs him down, but a word from the Lord makes him glad. That word glad, merriment, full of joy, full of peace, excited about the future. I'll tell you right now, if you are not excited about America's future, you don't have the word of the Lord. If you are not excited about Osmond Bird Church, man, you have lost the word of the Lord. If you are not excited about your family, your marriage, your kids, you don't have the word of the Lord. Because it says that he renews our strength. It says that he gives strength that we can soar on wings like eagles. It says that we can just enjoy life. You are meant to enjoy life. I just sense it. I feel it. Not just with this political thing. I'm saying I know there's people that the enemy loves to steal, kill, and destroy your joy. And I love that Claudine has given a Sunday school class on joy. And again, I say rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Yeah, but this another bad thing happened. And then this other thing just dropped in my lap. And then another thing just happened. And again, I say rejoice. So important. All right, so one more that I really want to make sure we hit this morning. Isaiah 64:1. Another passage in Isaiah about heaven. A famous one says this, oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence, that the nations may tremble at your presence. I hope, even if you've heard this before, I hope the Holy Spirit brings some fresh revelation in this scripture. Again, to give you context, Isaiah is seeing turmoil amongst the nations. He's seeing trouble. And this time, it's not King Uzziah. It's actually the next king was a God-fearing king. Then there was another king that did things wrong, and the nation was headed in the tank. And Isaiah's crying out, we need revival, God! Do you see what's going on here? Would you just rip open the heavens and come down and do justice? There's evil happening. God, would you just get off your throne and do something? It's this cry of desperation. Let me read to you just a few verses before in Isaiah 63:15. Isaiah says this, "Lord, look down from heaven, from your holy, glorious dwelling place, and look at us. What happened to your passion for us and your mighty acts of power? Why are you withholding from us your feelings of tender compassion?" Do you hear the emotion that's going on inside of Isaiah? He sees things happening in the natural that point to God not listening, to God not caring. And he's saying, God, what's going on? I know you're on the throne, but from my perspective, it looks like you don't care. It looks like you're up in heaven and you don't see what's going on. And he's just crying out, God, look, look at the injustice. Earlier in the verse, it's quoted, God himself says this to Isaiah, I love justice and I hate robbery. So he hears God say that and he's saying, God, you just told me that you love justice and you hate robbery, but look what's happening on the earth. Injustice is abounding. Do something. It's a cry of a child saying, Dad, don't you care? I think about my kids. I got four kids, and so I hear them cry out sometimes in the backyard. One of them feels like injustice is happening. Maybe an older brother is doing something, picking on them. Dad, get out here. It's not fair. I can't defend myself. That's the cry of Isaiah. Daddy, God, I've been into your throne room. I've seen what you are capable of. And I see injustice happening on the earth. Would you just rip open the heavens and come down and deal with wickedness? See, scripture, it says over and over again that we are to hate evil. It's biblical to hate evil, to see what's happening to our nation, the way that we were founded on godly moral principles and things have shifted. That should make us angry. But again, our battle's not against flesh and blood, right? There's principalities. There's things going on. But at the same time, there should be this cry. Like Isaiah, we should be saying these same prayers. God, don't you care? Don't you see? Do something. And if you just take the verse, kind of just break it down. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and that you would come down. See, Isaiah's not even asking for an angel. Send Gabriel, send Michael. No, God, you're my father. You're the one who cares. I know you're compassionate. I know your mercies are new every morning, and I'm not tasting it. I'm not seeing it. And this is not right, God. So you, God, you come down. I let my requests come from earth up into heaven. I let the injustice that's crying out from earth reach into your ears up into heaven, God. So that you, your justice would flow down. And I love this word, rend. Maybe different translations, it says to tear open, to rip open, to break open, to burst forth. See, this is Isaiah 3,000 years ago praying this prayer. Can I say it's biblical for us to pray the same prayer, but at the same time, you and I should recognize that this prayer has been fulfilled and will be fulfilled one day. He's saying, God, would you yourself get here on earth? Don't just send a messenger. Don't just send me as a prophet. It's not enough. People aren't listening to me as your prophet. They need you yourself, God, to get down here. You've got to deal with this. Isaiah's crying out almost 1,000 years later. It says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That God himself left his throne in heaven, wrapped himself in human flesh and came and dealt with the injustice. Where there was a kingdom, a second heaven ruling the first heaven, God said, it's not okay. I'll come down there. I listen to your cries, Isaiah. I'm coming. I'm going to come deal with it myself. And Jesus on the cross, he defeated sin, death, the grave, the devil. And he declared, it is finished. I love that. That Jesus, he's the one who ripped open heaven. But even as you read the Gospels, it says that Jesus did that when he took on flesh. But then it says that there was another rip, that when he was baptized, it says that those who were watching, they saw the heavens open and the Holy Spirit come and fall and rest on Jesus. That there was, again, a ripping where it wasn't just the Son of God, it was the Spirit of the living God. And Jesus said, it's actually better that I go, that I can send my Spirit to be on all of you. We live under a ripped open heaven. It's been ripped. It didn't just rip open for a moment and close again. No, Jesus ripped it right open. The veil in the temple separating the presence of God when Jesus died and declared it is finished, man, that it ripped. It was rent from top to bottom. He ripped through the heavens. The third heaven ripped open past the second heaven into the first heaven. All three heavens ripped open. And then I love it. Jesus went even further. He not only died on the cross and resurrected, but he ascended. To me, just kind of widening that path. He ascended back up into the third heaven. We live in a heaven where not only did God come down, but he says that you can actually join him in heavenly places. It's a ripped. We have access because the heavens have been ripped open. Isaiah's prayer 3,000 years ago has been fulfilled, and yet we can still pray today because there's more fulfillment to come. He's creating a new heaven and a new earth where there is no limitations. There's no separation whatsoever. I love it. You know, Isaiah, I mentioned this. Isaiah had a vision from chapter 6. We talked about it. Isaiah had a vision of the third heaven. Paul was taken into the third heaven. John wrote the book of Revelation. There's people in Scripture that were able to see the throne room of God. You and I, we might never get that same exact vision here on earth. Maybe we will. But what I'm praying in this season is that whatever it looks like, you and I, we have an encounter with the living God. A personal encounter. I'm praying that just like Isaiah during that season of political unrest and things just seemed going wrong, that he had personal revival. It seems to me that Isaiah needed to be in a place where there was such great desperation and people around him losing hope that he had to go get hope for himself. It wasn't enough for him to read about what other prophets had written down. He needed his own personal encounter. It's not enough for you to listen to your pastor to give you your own message on Sunday morning. You need your own personal encounter. I can never feed you and satisfy you the way that a personal encounter will. I love it. Isaiah, like I said, he didn't reteach what someone else already taught. He went and got the word of the Lord for himself. I can encourage you. I can try to put courage inside of you. I can try to give you scripture. But at some point, you need an encounter with the living God. All right, really quick. Isaiah 66:1. I'm going to skip some other passages I had. Isaiah 66:1, it says this, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. This is where it is well with my soul. We sang that song this morning. Heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. He rules and reigns up in heaven. He comes up with plans and purposes all up in heaven, and then his footstool is where they're enacted. Everything is under his feet. Oh, man, there's so much that I want to say about that. All right. I'm trying to figure out how to land this plane because I got a lot of good stuff in here. All right, really quick. I might go over a couple minutes. Back in Isaiah 64:1, it talked about how he would rend the heavens, that he would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence, that the nations might tremble at your presence. I couldn't help but think of the hills melt like wax with the presence of the Lord. And it says this in other portions of Scripture. Philippians 2:10. The authority of the name of Jesus causes every name to bow in reverence. Everything and everyone will one day submit to his name in the heavenly realm, in the earthly realm, and in the demonic realm. So you get that? Your three heavens right there. All the angels, all the demons, and every man, every tongue, and every knee will bow and confess. Psalm 97:5, the mountains melt like wax for the presence of the Lord. Micah 1:3-4, look, the Lord is coming. He leaves his throne in heaven and tramples the heights of the earth. The mountains melt beneath his feet. I love that. It's an answer. Would you just rend the heavens and come down? And Micah says, look, the Lord is coming. He leaves his throne in heaven and he's trampling the heights of the earth. The mountains melt beneath his feet. Romans 16:20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Or in the Message translation, before you know it, the God of peace will come down on Satan with both feet, stomping him into the dirt. So that last verse we read of Isaiah 66:1, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Can I say something as we're closing, as Daniel's coming up in the worship team? When I started thinking this and I typed it out, I thought, oh man, that might be sacrilegious. Because this is God saying, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. And so I tried to make it a little more palatable, and I rewrote it and I said, heaven is my home, Ryan's home, and the earth is my footstool. I was like, okay, that's good. And I just felt like the Lord is refining me even again this morning. No, what does Scripture say? I'm seated with Christ. So this might seem sacrilegious, but this is the word of the Lord to me, maybe to someone else this morning. Heaven is your throne. And the earth is your footstool. It's not meant to degrade God at all. It's meant to elevate your identity, what God says about you. Heaven is your throne. That's where you think. That's where you come up with plans. That's where you get solutions for the problems here on this earth. Heaven is your throne. That's where you rule and reign. That's where you are a kingdom of priests. And the earth, oh, that's where you come and serve, just like Jesus came to serve. I'm just trying to, I feel like there's so much in that, but let me just use this as an example. Maybe it's silly and I don't know, maybe too benign. But I was just thinking, my kids and I, we had a conversation yesterday, we're talking about doing chores, Saturday chores, and as a dad, I heard two of my kids talking about a chore. Well, you never do that chore, I always do that chore. No, I do that chore, you never do that chore. And I'm laughing inside, because as a dad, I'm like, actually, I'm the one that does it 90% of the time. And I'm laughing at their argument because it's so childish. But because I'm a dad, I'm not going to argue and say, no, actually, I do it more than you guys. I can prove it to you. Because there's something, there's some more maturity. As a dad, I know the truth, and I'm not going to engage in a silly, foolish conversation. I feel like it's the same thing. When heaven is your throne, and that's where you think and you live and you get plans and thoughts about life, and you come here on the earth, you're not so tossed to and fro and frantic and getting in silly arguments. It's like, oh, are you kidding me? God's got a plan. I'm not worried. I'm not anxious. Why would I be anxious when I know what God's thoughts are? But see, it's one of these things that I'm not arrogant and prideful that I look at other people, other believers in the church, and I look down on them and say, oh, you idiots. Don't you know what God is saying? No. I learn to rule with the heart of a servant and to serve with the heart of a king. That when I'm in heaven, I'm ruling with the heart of servant, like Isaiah. When he was in the third heaven, what'd he do? Here am I, send me. He's just a servant's heart, but he's getting identity that he is royalty, but he just wants to serve. And then when he comes on earth, he just serves, but with the heart of a king. I know what God's thoughts are, and I don't have to argue with you. Let me just serve. Let me just with compassion serve you. Just like Christ, he was the Son of God. But he didn't get wrapped up in stupid conversations. He just came to serve. So would we learn to let heaven be our throne and the earth be our footstool? So let's wrap this up. Would you just in an act of receiving, would you just put your hands out in front of you and let's pray. Holy Spirit, we receive your word to us this morning. Where you need to correct us and rebuke us, where we've been weary, where we've had anxiety, we recognize today that that is sin. It's wrong. Sometimes I just want to be comforted, and you are God who brings comfort. But God, I thank you that you don't allow me to wallow in sin. You show me and lead me in paths of righteousness. So God, I confess with my hands open in front of me, I need strength. I need wisdom. I need the peace of God. We read from Isaiah, you are the Prince of Peace, the mighty God, the wonderful counselor, that the government is upon your shoulders. So I choose to trust you, that your ways are higher than my ways. I choose to silence my anxieties and my thoughts. And I choose not to lean on my own understanding, but acknowledge you, God. Restore my soul. Renew my strength. Cause me to soar on wings like eagles. Give me the mind of Christ. Help me to find heaven everywhere I go. To find heaven purposes, heaven plans, the thoughts and that are going on in the heavenly realms. May I think those same thoughts. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Renew a right spirit within me. So God, I thank you that strength rises as we wait upon you. So we choose to fix our eyes on you and give you all the praise. And God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Join us.